Government is always about choices. And it's clear to me that a full social media ban is the right choice. Now, I come to it as a parent myself. I know exactly the fears that we all feel when we're thinking about this issue. You know, all I've ever wanted for my own children, hand on heart, is for them to be happy and for them to be safe. And I think that's what any parent wants. But I ask the question now, do we truly believe that social media creates a happy environment for our children? Do we truly believe that it's a place where they can feel safe? I don't think I even need to answer those questions, do I? Every parent can see it with their own eyes. Social media is making children unhappy. It's making it easier for bullies to harass and abuse them. And it could even be harming their mental health, exposing them to content that is dangerous, because that's what grabs the attention. It's designed to be addictive.
So that's British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Of course, these laws are not exclusive to Britain. They're rolling out the same tyranny in every nation. They're all doing the digital ID. They're all doing the digital money. They're just doing it over there first, so we can see what's coming.
Under 16s banned from all the main social media platforms. So, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and X.
Yeah, they started arresting people for mean tweets. But they can't find all of them. So this is the plan to fix that. Yeah, we want to protect the children, blah, blah, blah. But it's really about digital age verification for every citizen. If you want to log on to Facebook or X or whatever, you have to identify yourself with a government ID. And therefore, everything you say will be added to your personal account in the database. This is exactly like all of the dystopian movies. They're rolling it out right in front of our face. Oh, no, it's to protect the children. Well, maybe there's other ways to protect the children that don't include surveilling every citizen and recording every single thing they say. The bad guys keep getting away with it because there's no opposition. The opposition takes up all the space with lame arguments.
Tech companies have had the chance to sort this problem out themselves and have failed to do so. Enough. She said today is a defining moment for our children. And she said there's more to do, but it's a landmark day. It's a day we begin to take power away from the tech giants who've had countless opportunities to keep children safe.
Do you see the idiocy from these moronic politicians? Oh yeah, we're going to take back the power from the tech companies by demanding we know every citizen's ID when they log on to say something. That's not a real argument. It's stupid. Kids, I think, out there know, even though they may love social media, they probably know deep down that some of this stuff goes a little too far. They're just too young. They don't know the reasons behind it all. I encourage them to look up Yuri Bezmenov, the Russian KGB defector who talked about plan to demoralize the country with degradation and infiltration. And you look at the things on social media, and there's a lot of horrible, horrible content. And it plays exactly in to what this KGB agent was saying, that they're trying to take down society from within. And if you look at what's happened,
the highest art of warfare is not to fight at all, but to subvert anything of value in the country of your enemy until such time that the perception of reality of your enemy is screwed up to such an extent that he does not perceive you as an enemy. We think that subverter is a person who is going to blow up our beautiful bridges. No. Subverter is a student who comes for exchange, a diplomat, an actor, an artist, a journalist like myself. The first stage of subversion is the process which is called demoralization.
Boy, we used to have great schools, and now kids are graduating and they can't read. That didn't happen before. So this is part of the infiltration. They've dumbed down society, and they're continuing to try to not just dumb it down, but to take society into this hellscape, like you see in that little country in the...
Does anyone know what a drag queen is? No? Do you know what a drag queen is? A drag queen is a character you create to express your feminine side or any other side of yourself that you'd like to explore.
I would like to be a superhero.
Yeah, you could be a drag queen superhero.
Yeah.
This is
three-dimensional. They own all the channels, then they push this kind of garbage on us, and then they say, look, we have to protect the children. You guys own the platforms. You could eliminate this garbage if you wanted, but you don't. And you tell us the only solution is now to track everybody. The real solution that they won't talk about is kid-safe phones. A hardware-encoded phone that does not allow children to go to harmful sites. The solution is not digital age verification for every citizen. The solution is a better app that doesn't have that crap on there. We should have X. It's like a monopoly. That's the free speech platform. That's what he said. It's the town square. Well, okay, let's have a town square that doesn't have the bots. That should be the death penalty for somebody that has 100 phones and is doing a bot farm and pushing all kinds of crap on people. That should be illegal. You're subverting free speech by dominating the conversation with a whole bunch of bots. That's why X, I can't recommend it to anybody. It's loaded with a bunch of idiotic takes that are probably not even real people. The only people that should go on X is if you have extreme self-confidence in your own beliefs. You're not going to be swayed by groupthink. Scratch that. Not beliefs, but ability to logic. There's a lot of information that you might not have heard, and so upon receiving this new information, a logical person will evaluate the new information with the old information and now decide what makes sense. What we have now is everybody believes something, and they strongly believe it, and when presented with new information, they disregard it. I'm not listening to that because I already have my beliefs.
Because any popular post, they're going to have dozens of idiotic comments. And boy, if you're just swayed by most people agree with this, then you'll just go along with that. Even though when you try to have the argument, you break it down logically, the majority side, their argument is, shut up, libtard, or something like that. Somebody says, you know, the national debt doubled since Trump, the first tax cuts. That's a bad deal. Why did we do the tax cuts again? We're going to grow the economy and reduce the national debt. We can't give that burden to our children. That's what he said in his campaign commercial. Shut up, libtard.
One of the things I'm going to do, and largely with our great tax plan where everybody's taxes is going down, we're going to grow our economy. We have to get rid of the $19 trillion in debt. So unfair. So totally unfair. To our young people. We are not going to leave you with that burden.
Where did that Trump go?
Shut up, libtard.
And now he hasn't done that. It doubled the national debt, and they're all just pretending it didn't happen and going to keep on doing it. It's stupid. But they own all the channels, and we're not allowed to talk about that stuff, and this is why they want to clamp down on everybody. It's because they want to find out who's still talking about that. breakupx.com, and half of the servers can go to y.com, and if you want all the porn and the satanic stuff, go to X. But if you want to just have real dialogue with other humans and no bots and no porn, then you can go to y.com and we'll have a discussion. That's what we should have, but none of the politicians will talk about that. The only solution for them is tracking. And meanwhile, they also rolled out in England that the government ministers, they're all free from that. There's no tracking on their phones. It's illegal to track their phones. And so everything they do is secret. But everything the public does is recorded and put in the database. You tell me that's freedom.
And, oh, well, that's in England. They're not doing it here. Are you sure? Of course they're doing it here. That's exactly what they're doing.
The f***ing parasites, the MPs, the lords, the civil servants that have all voted for the Online Safety Act, the f***ing Data Use and Access Act, all of this dystopian legislation that's forcing us to live in this digital dystopia, they are literally exempt from it. And if this doesn't make you really, really f***ing angry, I don't know what will. Now, I wasn't going to do anything because I'm meant to be healing and focusing on my cancer and getting my law studies done, but I am so f***ing furious about this, and I've had to write it down so I can share it all with you. This screening, all the messages, all the photos, the fact that they want us to be transparent to them, they become more opaque to us. That's not just a saying, it's actually true. And you need to know the laws that they use that make them exempt from what they're forcing on us, the people. One of the acts is the Investigatory Powers Act, the divine right of MPs. While the state gives intelligence agencies sweeping powers to intercept, hack, and harvest the public's data, they built a golden shield for politicians. Under this law, a standard law enforcement or intelligence agency cannot touch an MP's data. A warrant to intercept a politician's communications can only be issued if the Prime Minister personally approves and signs off on it in writing. Keir f***ing Starmer.
The government is backwards. Citizens are private. The government should know nothing about us. They are public servants. We should know everything about them. Body cams for Congress would achieve that. It sounds crazy, but we need some radical solutions. What's happening right now is not working, and if you think voting again for a different color is going to fix it, then obviously you're nuts. We need something different. We need total transparency from the government. Body cams, everything recorded and transcribed and archived and searchable by the citizens. Now, if the representatives don't like that, they can get the hell out. We'll find somebody else that'll take that $184,000 a year job. Would you do it? Would you wear a body cam and have all of your actions scrutinized for 2 years? That's what it should be. You're taking one for the team. It's going to be difficult. You're going to get paid well, but you're going to be under intense scrutiny for a couple years until you get out. That's how it should be. Instead, they're acting like kings, and they're going to enforce this digital surveillance on all of us. It's ridiculous, and it's the same situation worldwide. We should all be confronting the politicians directly. Every time they stand in public, we should be asking them about that. Why are you trying to spy on us, and you're keeping everything secret? Will you agree to a weekly 2-hour Q&A session with the public? Will you agree to wear a body cam and have everything you say recorded for 2 years? We need to cut down on the corruption. You have to admit somebody's corrupt, so we're trying to figure out who it is. And if you won't wear the body cam, so it looks like it's you, huh? Are you really going to tell us that there's no corruption going on?
Keir Starmer has decided that he's going to put a ban on all under 16s from social media. Well, I can tell you, they tried that over in Australia, my homeland. Didn't work. Every one of my cousins, everyone I know who's under 18 or under 16, has totally been able to get around it like every other kid. This is virtue signaling.
Did you catch that? They've already tried age verification in Australia, and it doesn't work. They don't even care if it works. They just want the excuse to get everybody's digital ID when you log on. It's not going to stop kids from using it, but they're going to have your ID. That's what the whole purpose is. They're telling you that the Epstein class wants to protect the children. That's why they need this online censorship. Because the Epstein pedos want to protect the children. That's what they're arguing.
The reality is, while the public's data is subjected to a mass bulk warrants and algorithm-driven scanning, politicians granted themselves a personal prime ministerial veto. And then there's the Online Safety Act. New legislation they've built in protections to for them as well, bypassing the digital dragnet. The highly controversial push for client-side scanning, forcing tech companies to scan your private messages on your phone before they're encrypted, does not apply to the state. MPs, lords, civil servants, the lot of them. Your private life becomes completely transparent to state scrutiny, while the inner workings of the government operations remain entirely opaque. I'm so fucking angry.
Digital ID. I'm going to just chuck it over to you.
Digital ID is going to be one of the critical pieces of the puzzle for the digital control that they're building. Bill Gates and the UN talk about digital public infrastructure. And of course, digital ID won't happen in a vacuum. It is paired with digital currency. It is paired with the tokenization of assets and existing now on the digital ledger blockchain, universal blockchain ledger that the Bank for International Settlements is building. And one of the reasons why the digital ID is so insidious is because it is going to create a permanent record of everything you do. I think people right now are thinking of digital ID as like, well, yeah, you know, I just show it when I get on an airplane, or if I want to buy a pack of cigarettes, if I don't quite look, you know, 30, that's just when I need an ID. No. They want you to need a digital ID to access anything and everything. Oh, you want to go on the internet? Where's your digital ID? Oh, you want to make a comment on an article? Where's your digital ID? Oh, you want to tweet something out? Where's your digital ID? Oh, you want healthcare? Oh, yeah, you definitely are going to need your digital ID. Oh, you want to make a bank transaction? You want to make a purchase? Where's your digital ID? So first of all, it creates a permanent log of everything you ever do. And, you know, that would be bad enough in a normal world. Once you apply AI to that and realize they don't need infinite bureaucrats to go through all your stuff, they've got the technology now to sort through it and build a detailed profile on you that'll be more detailed than even you understand about yourself.
Hey, representatives. We demand that technology be used for the public benefit. All the great technology we have is used to spy and control us, and there's none of it used for public benefit. We want you to post the bills online. Every bill is short, a couple pages, no 1,000-page bills, no writers with a bunch of amendments. That's all bullish. A couple of pages, and you post it online 2 weeks before the vote. So everybody has a chance to read it and discuss it, and we'll let you know if we think it's a good idea or not. And that's how the government should work. We can do that right now. We can say this is what we want our government to be. We want the bills to be shown to the public and let the public decide if we like it or not, and then we'll let them know. And then the politicians, they're going to have to talk to us directly. Right now, you talk to them on Twitter and they don't answer you. And for all we know, they don't even see it. Elon's blocking them from seeing it. So we need a public dialogue system with the politicians where we know they've seen our question.
Will you support a bill for transparent elections?
Joe in Kentucky has a really good question. Then everybody can say, hey, good one, Joe. And we all voted up. And that's the top question. That's the first one that the politician is going to answer that week on his 2-hour session.
Do we get cool technology like that? No, we get digital ID, digital money. We have to protect the children. For your convenience. 20% off.
You realize the Orwellian implication. It is the truest panopticon that has ever been contemplated, even more than the original panopticon, right? And so this is one of the problems. And the second problem comes in the fact that it is critical to the control grid, right? And so when you combine it with, for example, the social credit system that's been rolled out in China, which is just a pilot project for the world, by the way, it's not just going to stay in communist China, you realize that your ability to access all of these things, your ability to have privileges, you forget rights, you no more rights, you have privileges, your ability to exercise your privileges now becomes entirely dependent on your compliance and what you have attached to your digital ID. So if you're a good slave, you might be able to get some real food. Don't have to eat a bug burger. You might be able to get your child a semi-reasonable brainwashing masquerading as education. You might even be able to get a passport and travel. You might get a bigger carbon budget. If you don't, all of your options will be restricted. And I don't just mean your economic options. I don't just mean where you can work, what you can buy. I'm talking about the most basic freedoms that have been under assault just for the last few years. And I need people to realize here, we're not just talking about the normal freedoms, like freedom of speech and freedom of religion. We're talking about things that you didn't even think of as freedoms a few years ago, right? Like, think back to COVID. Suddenly you couldn't go to work. Suddenly you couldn't visit grandma as she's dying in the hospital. Suddenly you couldn't see your friends and have a beer or a coffee together. Those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. You will be entirely boxed in, entirely at the mercy of your overlords. And the digital ID is the on-ramp for this totalitarian dystopia. And once you take it, there's no way off, right? You can't just say, well, you know, I think I don't like my digital ID anymore. Okay, well, you're not going to be able to do anything, which means you will die, which means you must have your digital ID.
Again, I'm not calling for a violent revolution, but if workers come together, you have to shut down the machine. And if you can shut down the machine in a meaningful way, if all the truckers stop trucking, if all the railroad workers stop going to work, port workers, that's how you gain control.
But the worker strike does no good unless you have the media to convey your message. What are the demands, and can you express to the public what they've been missing? We've got to show them the logical government that we could have and the actions we could take if we had a good government.
The truckers need to surround the TV stations. Surround the radio stations, all the media outlets that have been lying to the public and withholding the truth, all the important facts that they don't know about COVID, about the digital ID, about the wars, about the banks. Once the public finds out, they are going to really be outraged. Find out that they've been lied to for 100 years. They've slaved away their whole life for this stupid mortgage when you didn't need a mortgage. That's all bull. It's just manufactured crap they came up with to enslave you. And we've all been tricked into it. There's a way to arrange a society without a 30-year mortgage and paying $1 million in interest to some stupid bankers that are already like the richest people on the planet. It's criminal. That's what the people need to know. The truckers need to not just go on strike and not show up. They need to go block the building so the TV newscasters can't leave the building and then demand a live debate. Let's go, Rachel Maddow. We want to debate you. All of them. Wolf Blitzer, Piers Morgan. Let's freaking go.
Technology for public benefit. There are many things we could do that would cost nothing and greatly benefit the public. It would save us trillions of dollars from grift. Cameras on the ballot boxes. People want to steal elections. There's trillions of dollars at stake. So we need a completely transparent election system so it can't be stolen. Right now, there's black box kind of stuff. Nobody knows what's happening. That's stupid. Why are we allowing this? That's why everything's gone to hell. We need to demand transparent elections, which would be done with an empty ballot box in the morning and a camera on the box. And it's on the box all day long, and then you open the box and you count the ballots on camera that night. That wouldn't cost that much money. And we have the technology, and it's just like the America, get her done. We can get her done and do it. Make a website so you can go to, you know, elections.gov/Alaska/wherever you are and see the video of the precinct that day. A communication site like the town square. We need that. Something like Facebook, except whoever coded that is an idiot, so not like that. Okay, maybe like X. That's doable, but it could be so much better if they just tried. But we could have a site like that where you go to your representative's page and you'll see the top questions of the week. Everybody wants to ask him a question. And so instead of asking it by mail or in some secret format where they reply to you individually and nobody else can see it,
That's dumb. You ask it in public, and then everybody sees the question you ask. So they can say, oh, that's a good one. I didn't know that, and I hadn't thought of that. But good question, and you vote it up. That's doable. And it costs nothing. And that would be real communication with our representatives. So they get asked the questions, and then we can see the answer, and everybody can see the answer, and we can all talk about it and say that's a good answer or that's not a good enough answer. Because that's what we have right now, and they're just getting away with this because they're avoiding the questions. They don't answer questions from the public. They have the press, and the press goes and asks them dumb questions and lets them off the hook. So this should be a policy for all politicians around the world. You have to answer questions from the public, and it's got to be viewable by the rest of the public so everybody can see your reply.
The ministerial Henry VIII veto basically means they can make and change any law. They can just change legislation at a whim. But it's called Henry VIII powers for a reason. It's dictating the rules at will. The system is literally rigged. If the government official ever feels, one person, one Secretary of State, if they ever feel threatened by a surveillance clause, they can simply rewrite the law without a parliamentary vote. The Henry VIII powers embedded within the Online Safety Act. The Act grants Secretary of State secondary legislative powers to alter, amend, or exempt new categories of digital services via statutory instruments. A government minister possesses the personal unchecked authority to carve out further executive exemptions for themselves and their allies behind closed doors, completely bypassing the democratic oversight.
I propose putting an end to anonymity on social media.
You do not even have to have elections anymore because you can already predict, and afterwards you can say, why do we need elections? Because we know what the result will be.
You know that phrase, when the dish hits the fan? Well, the wall next to the fan is splattered and disgusting AF. People say, oh, what's the big deal? It's always been like this. Nothing different coming down the pike.
Digital currency, central banking digital currency coming. They're going to be able to track what you can spend. They'll be able to turn off your bank account if you exceed your carbon credits, stuff like that. This is all about controls.
What people are worried about with CBDCs, it's not the fact that it's the Federal Reserve issuing the token.
They don't want
their money to be programmed, tracked, and censored.
But, you know, climate change has also been, whether you believe in climate change or you don't, it's obvious that the solutions to climate change are there not to actually solve climate change, but there to control you.
So it's only going to be a limited number of people that are going to be able to issue these stable coins. And it turns out people tied directly to the administration or in the administration are the biggest direct beneficiary.
We see this for what it is. We don't trust the government. We don't carry papers, and we won't be carrying digital IDs.
Trump's job is to get you to stay asleep until they throw the trap.
We are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers.
It's a trap.
If you get central digital control in an all-digital monetary system, and I don't care
you know, what vehicle you use to do it, whether it's a Federal Reserve CBDC or Ripple or Bitcoin or something else we create, you know, WorldCoin, you know, if you do that, you are walking into a digital concentration camp.
So there are two pieces of legislation. One has passed and the other is about to pass. And the one that's about to pass is actually even more dangerous. But the first was the Genius Act.
Cities and digital currency where they can track how you're spending it, so they can control your carbon footprint, and they can turn off your money so they can stop you from traveling or purchasing or doing anything. You know, the things that Aldous Huxley and Orwell wrote about seem to be coming true. We seem to be living in it.
So Bitcoin itself has no intrinsic value. It's used heavily by sex traffickers, money launderers, ransomware.
If you knew who was really behind Bitcoin, really behind Bitcoin, you would run as fast as you could to sell it.
I'm Jeffrey Epstein, funded Bitcoin development in 2015 secretly via the MIT Media Lab.
If you knew who started Bitcoin, you had Bitcoin, you couldn't sleep at night.
And that means, go back to the pandemic, if they don't want you going more than a mile from your house, your money won't work more than a mile from your house. Your electric car won't work more than a mile from your house. If they don't want you buying pizza, your money won't buy pizza. And you can't pay cash for pizza because you're in an all-digital monetary system.
I'm Jeffrey Epstein, funded Bitcoin development in 2015, secretly.
We have 14 items in this blueprint of what states need to do. Number one is preserving cash and checks. You cannot go to an all-digital monetary system. You need to have an analog system. One of the reasons you need to have an analog system, everybody in North Carolina can explain to you why you need an analog system, because when the electricity goes, you better have cash, you better have an analog system. In New Zealand, when the cyclone came through 2 years ago, the head of the central bank stood up, gave a speech afterwards and said, thank God we had cash. If we hadn't had cash, you know, nobody would have been able to transact. After what happened in Western North Carolina, the Norwegian central bank came out and said, you know, we're down to 3% cash. We're going to reverse it because we're looking at what happens during disasters all around the world. And if you don't have cash, you're toast.
And then there's the Wilson Doctrine, which is codifying this dual standard. What began as a constitutional convention in 1966 has been weaponized in the digital age to ensure the ruling class remains entirely unmonitored. So the Wilson Doctrine establishes that the police and security services are completely banned from tapping, tracking, or snooping on members of parliament or peers. The ones that you need to be watching, the parasites and the paedophiles and the paedophile protectors. Modern surveillance statutes have actively codified this doctrine into law. It ensures that the very individuals voting to strip you of your digital privacy, just complete privacy, are constitutionally and legally protected from ever experiencing the consequences of their own votes. This is the textbook definition of legislative tyranny. A democratic society functions on the principle that the state is transparent to the people and the people remain private from the state. The UK has completely inverted this doctrine, and by law, the state is actively turning your smartphone into an informant that scans your text messages, photos, and private thoughts before encryption can protect them. Meanwhile, the politicians, the parasites, the Secretary of State, and the elite bureaucrats have legally declared their own devices to be sacred, untouchable, and completely opaque. They know exactly how dangerous and invasive this technology is, which is precisely why they've passed explicit laws to ensure that they are completely exempt from it. I predict a riot. We are speeding towards, within weeks and months, speeding towards a complete digital dystopia, a panopticon, a gulag, literally. You need to wake up. People, you need to wake up. People have been warning actually about this for decades, to be fair. Myself and others campaigned against the Online Harms Bill at the time, which is now the Online Safety Act, which is a prelude to all of this. We've been telling you for the longest time, and people need to be really, really angry, because they are completely exempt from the laws that they are trying to force on us, that they vote for, and that's why they love it so much as well. I am so angry that we've let it get to this point, and then there's still some people that seriously think, by the way, the 29th of July is a deadline for the Secretary of State to update Parliament, House of Commons, PM, on their progress that they're making on the under-16s ban. By the end of 2026 is when they want that completely rolled out for everybody to access social media and the internet. We do not have until 2029 to vote our way out.
In terms of the timing, the government is talking about bringing forward regulations later this year and getting them through the Commons and indeed the Lords by Christmas, and bringing in the new laws, the clampdown, early next year. The government's a bit vague about that. The Prime Minister was talking about spring. Liz Kendall seems to be talking about the first couple of months of next year.
We cannot vote our way out of tyranny, people. We just can't. So we need to do something, and we need to be really, really creative. And I'm not inciting anything. We've got to change it up. We've got to do something.
If you ask me, the solution may be old school. Going back to radio. The tech bros own all of the digital channels, so we can try on here, but they're watching and recording everything and blocking it. But the radio is something that can reach everybody, and the tech bros can't stop it. All over America, there's public radio stations. I don't know about Britain, but it seems like they might have the same thing. Sure, nobody listens to the station now because it's all garbage. But if we the people took over the stations and put local voices on the air having real debates, talking about the real issues that none of the other media will talk about, everybody will be listening to the station within a week. It's going to go viral just via word of mouth. The stuff people are going to hear is going to blow their minds, and they're going to tell everybody. We have the information, we just don't have a way to get it out there. Maybe some hacker will get onto the internet and push something viral. That'd be great. Or if some influencers would finally start getting together and uniting, hey, we could organize. We have a team of people. We all have 10,000 followers. We'll organize a movement. But nobody does that. Every post about organizing gets deleted. It gets completely buried and nobody can see it. It's like Twitter is this thing where you can see all of the crimes in the world, but nothing you want to do about it works, because those are the posts that are buried. But the radio is something that, you know, people are working, they're busy, they don't have time to watch TV all the time, but the radio is on. They can listen to that on their way to work, while they're at work, while they're plowing the fields, whatever. Everybody can be listening to it all day long, and that's what we need. You're not going to get a 10-minute TV show and convince people, but if they can listen to local people talking all day, every day, after a very short time, people are going to get it. Well, I can't take over the radio station. That's hard. What we need is the A-team, a small group of people that are dedicated and trustworthy, and you trust each other. Hopefully, you've known each other your whole lives, because, you know, the bad guys infiltrate every group. So the smaller the group of trustworthy people that you know, the better. Those people could run the radio station themselves. So what we need to do is have a campaign or to get rid of the board of directors and the management at the current local radio stations. They're all crap. Well, they pretend to be anti-war. Oh yeah, they're the local guys and they play NPR. But NPR doesn't cover all the truth. If you present them with these facts that we're talking about, the digital ID and digital money tyranny that's being rammed down our throat, will they talk about it or will they bury it? They will bury it. You wonder, why can't you rationalize with them? It's like they're brainwashed. I don't know what to say, but you try to have a rational conversation with these people, and they just glaze over and just la, 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 I'm in charge, you can't do anything. That's what they do. So we need to somehow get them out. I don't know what the means are. Maybe truckers surrounding the station and then not letting them leave and then confronting them when they try to leave. Come outside and say, we demand you have a conversation. We demand a debate. Why won't you air this? And they'll be shamed. They'll resign. They'll run away. That's what we need to do.
Of a lot of people in a lot of high places, don't want you and me to enjoy ourselves. Well, get off their ass to help themselves change this government and better society. Hold on a second. I smell burning. I see a change coming round the bend, and I suggest to you that it takes just 5 seconds, just 5 seconds of decision. Realize that the time is right to start thinking about a little revolution.
Direct confrontation with the camera in hand. Confront them with a question and then wait for their answer. It's that simple. Shame them.
So folks, understand, the digital ID in and of itself is not the problem. The digital ID is a critical component of a machine that's being built to enslave you and your children and your grandchildren, and it will be the end of human freedom for the indefinite future.
The four guys in the A team that you have, they can run it via Linux. Anybody can set this up. It's not complicated. You set up an MPD server. If you've never done Linux, but you know Windows and you know how to right click and do properties and check stuff out, you can do Linux. It's not hard. Volunteer DJs during the day as often as possible, playing music and taking phone calls. Just read the news while you're playing music and something comes up. Hey, look, B-52 crashed. That's weird. Where's the plane? Huh. What do you guys think? Look it up and look at the pictures and chime in. And then people can call in and you have the discussion on the radio. And with nobody's calling in, you can ramble more or you can play more music. It's not hard. But then who can do it 24/7? That's too hard. Well, that's what the computer's for. The MPD is completely customizable. You can automate it with that. There's a bunch of scripts available at notards.net. These are just very basic scripts. I don't know. I'm not a coder. I just made this stuff up as I go along. So you can look at my scripts, and some of them are like 3 lines, but it's just simplifying the process so you can manage the radio station from your house. You set up this Linux computer in the radio station. You plug in the audio wire to the back, and you go home, and you play DJ from home. How cool is that? You can set up a voicemail box and say, hey, what do you guys think? And people can call in and leave a message. Then you have the digital voicemail and you can insert that into the playlist. Vote on them, hear them again, or they can request it. People can make their own playlist and be the DJ, and you can easily program it from home. Possibilities are limitless. 20 or 30 scripts in there. Some of them are a little more complicated, but most of them are very simple, and you can just look at it.
In the terminal, you would type nanoadd.sh. Now, add is just the first, most basic script, and nano is your text editor, color-coded, highlighting the different bits of code.
Read the script. It's not hard, and you can just figure it out and start doing your own scripts to customize it yourself. It's very, very easy. The whole station could be automated with no DJs at all. It could just be running 24/7. Now, before you're ready to take over a public radio station, you're going to want to set this up at home and test it out. So I've already got 500 MP3s that I've made and put in a zip file and uploaded to archive.org. So you can download these and then mix them in with your practice radio station you do at home. It could be at work. Maybe you manage the radio at work and you have 20 employees working at the pizza place and they're listening to music all day. Well, say, hey, I'm going to try this for a day. Check it out. And then you set up your computer, you plug it in, and you play it at work. And you just set the script on random. I have this one where it picks the We the People clips, is what I call them. And it's a 2-minute clip or 20 seconds, like Fiona Diamond talking about what the hell is going on here. And then while you're playing the music, the playlist is just going on through whatever songs are playing. And then every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever you set it at, it will grab one of these We the People clips and insert it in there. You can get a sense of this if you download one of my playlists that I just uploaded to radioforall.net. Jimmy Dore Music Mix. And in that one, it's a couple hours of radio. It's just playing music. And it'll mix in these We the People clips. But I also mixed in Jimmy Dore's recent interview where he really nailed it on multiple subjects for an hour and a half. And so it was just so good. This is fair use. People need to hear this. Hell yeah, Jimmy Dore, thank you. He was excellent. And so I broke it up into clips because sometimes people can't listen to it for an hour and a half straight. So here's music, and then here's a little clip of Jimmy Dore for 2 minutes, and then some more music, and then here's a clip of Joe Rando Guy from Florida. I'll play a couple of these after this, or you can listen to one of the other mixes.
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway.
You get an idea for what it's like. You set up Linux, and then you play all your music, whatever MP3s you have loaded on. You get every CD you can find and load them all on there. And then you can set it on random or one of my favorite new scripts. You know, these scripts are so easy. You have an idea and you just, oh, I'll do that. And it takes like 20 minutes or half an hour or something. You can make this new script. So I just added this bit to my IPL, insert playlist script, where I can say, today's like a Stone Roses day. So I'll do ZGA Stone Roses, and that's the search for all the songs by the Stone Roses. Search the artist. And then that's saved in the search file. So now from that, I do IPL S23. Now what that'll do is insert playlist S instead of getting a playlist that I've named and saved from before. This is getting the search one that I just searched. So IPL S23. Now the 2 means skip 2 songs because I'm looking at my queue and I have the next song going and I really like that one. So I want to insert this one after that. And then 3 means skip 3 songs and then insert the next. So now it'll insert all 50 Stone Roses songs I have, every third song or whatever I choose throughout the day. So then it'll be Stone Roses, 3 or 4, 10 songs an hour all day long. I love it. So every day can have its own flavor. You say, oh, today, maybe Five Finger Death Punch. and you insert that every fourth song, and you're rocking out. Or you can just make a mix and do that with, say, your three favorite bands and insert those rotating, and it'll just be those three bands one after the other all day long. Anything you want. And this is a script I made in just like 20 minutes. Anything you can think of, you can do. It's awesome.
Not political, all right? I don't believe in Republican and Democrat because it's not in the Constitution, it's not in our Declaration of Independence. It's just American, one nation under God. Whatever they do as one. The trick is to give us the illusion that there is a choice, that there is a separation, to keep us fighting over these things. These things right here. Keep the us, not talking about the fact that we're working harder. Five generations now. We're working harder than our great-great-great-grandparents and our grandparents did, who had no education, who sent their first generations to college. We were on our way somewhere, and then something happened in the 50s. One of the big things I think that happened is they took the Bible out of school. People don't know, a lot of you young people don't even know the Bible was curriculum. And I'm not religious once again, but the Bible gives us a strong moral code to live by. We were family. We were community. We knew our neighbors. Our children played outside, met new friends. Those new friends wanted to spend the night, and they had to ask their parents, and their parents became friends. Today, mom's in the park on fentanyl, and we think fentanyl, they give us this propaganda about it comes from China. It comes from here. They didn't want this stuff in this country. It wouldn't be here. This is a weapon against us. There is an attack on all of us, red, blue, conservative, liberal. It doesn't matter. The American is under attack. Our dollar is buying a lot less. We're working a lot harder for it. We're losing our constitutional rights, whether you realize it or not, a lot through the technology that we're using today.
Buckle up. Here's what I think they've done. I think our countries in the Commonwealth have been short-sold because of government debt. And if you've ever seen the movie The Big Short, there's a few other movies around about how they do this. Essentially, the globalists, the big families, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Soros, Gates, Bilderbergs, all of them, they devised a plan because they knew the collapse of their fiat currency system was coming, because it has a shelf life of about 99 years. It's all built on debt. They devised a plan over a very long period of time that would see them bet against us, bet against their own nations. I think that was the involvement of the World Economic Forum. They taught them how to bet against themselves by betting on their own failure as nations economically, and then engineering that failure as nations economically. Firstly, by the big health shock, like an oil shock, but it was a health shock, wasn't it? The pandemic, locking us down, forcing the closure of small and medium-sized businesses, then the big corporations owned by the kinds of people who were behind this plan, because they're just winning all over town with this one. Then we've got the oil shock crisis, and then we've got the never-ending climate hoax crisis. They've essentially bet on our collapse. Now, the job of the politicians, who are now paid $750,000 and $1 million every 12 weeks in expenses to pull this off, this con, this crime, it's a crime. It's the biggest conspiracy the world has ever seen. The politicians are there to provide justification for you as to why we're going bankrupt, as to why we're spending all this money, as to why they are engineering the collapse of our nations with social justice programs, DEI programs, you know, gay tennis in Tanzania, whatever they can do. You can see it all over social media and it's driving people into rages. But these people don't care. They don't care that they've damaged your health. They don't care that they've taken all your savings. They don't care that they've taken your houses. They don't care that they've taken your jobs, and they absolutely don't care that they've taken your countries. So the politicians are apologists for this giant conspiracy where the money, the few, because with all this social justice stuff, they're such hypocrites because they talk about the greater good. They did it during the pandemic. There's no greater good. These politicians are working, obviously, for themselves. They get nicely paid off, but for the benefit of the few, the wealthy few, because they, the wealthy few, have first betted against us, bet on our economic collapse, and then used our politicians to make sure it happens.
I've had enough. Yeah, I've had enough of this horse issue. I don't give a which kind of law you make, I ain't going to follow it. I ain't paying my taxes this year. I just don't even care. I'm not going to be ruled by tyrants. I'm done. No taxes. I'm not following your goddamn laws that you make that are arbitrary and unconstitutional. I just ain't doing it. I've had enough of your bullshit. Washington State, Oregon, California, kiss my ass. I ain't following no more laws. No more new laws that don't make no sense. Your little snitch line and all your bullshit you got going on, I'm not doing it. I'm not funding your scams and your NGOs and your fucking bullshit wars. You're thieving. Yeah, thieving. You loudmouth politicians that don't give a fuck about the common person. I'm done. I've had enough. I am no longer going to participate in your horse shit. And I don't give a fuck what you try to take from me. I come into this world with nothing. I'll go out with nothing. I don't give a fuck. Off you and fuck off. And on top of that, you best leave me the fuck alone, because you won't like the results if you come out here and try to stomp on my neck. It won't end well. I'm old, and I'm mean as fuck. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think it's money. I think it's our government, our politicians are bought and paid for. And then the other thing is Christianity has been subverted. For 2,000 years, I was raised Protestant. I am now a proud Catholic. I know what the churches have been feeding me for my entire life. They've been waving the Israeli flag, claiming that this modern nation is biblical Israel. And I reject that. I completely reject it. And Catholics for 2,000 years have rejected it. So Christianity has been hijacked and subverted. And it's time we as Christians, the true Christians, take it back, because we're seeing the consequences that it has. And not only is it destroying our country, but it is literally destroying lives. Look what we've seen in Gaza. This heretical teaching is literally excusing and justifying the murder of innocent human life. And it's getting Christians to cheer it on and to applaud it and to fundraise for it. This is a hijacking of Christianity, and it's time we take it back.
You said it was a spiritual warfare. How do you fight a spiritual war if people are not conscious?
You wake up every morning and you hold your own consciousness and say, I'm a vessel for the truth in this world. What am I supposed to do today? And forget about the long-term goal. That is not yours to decide. God is going to decide how this all plays out. And God knows what each one of you need to do. Hold yourself in God consciousness. Hold yourself in the spiritual idea that we are evolving and we're a beautiful people. And then when you ask, what am I supposed to do? Say yes to that thought that comes into your mind immediately. That is all you can do. That is all any of us did. I did not predict I was going to put Robert Kennedy Jr. as HHS secretary. I did not know that Vax would do the things it would do. All I did was, today I'm going to make a movie and tell the truth. Today I'm going to tell Robert Kennedy Jr. I think you should run for president of the United States. It's crazy. It looks terrible on paper. And if we all thought it through and how's that going to work out, no one would have ever moved. We would have just sat there petrified. You know, the paralysis of analysis. Stop analyzing where this is going. Who cares if it's going to be the food? I don't know if it's going to be the tobacco. None of us know exactly what this agenda is, but what they need is our compliance. They need us frozen in fear, thinking about how big this is and how gigantic it seems to move. You want to move a mountain, you move it by moving one grain of sand at a time and focus on your grain today. You are here for a reason. We are born right now for a reason. This is our time. You are God's people. We will win this if you get up every morning and say, this is the most important time that's ever been. We as a species are being asked by God to do something and do it.
Amen.